5. And we're going to see some of the characteristics about this church age, but we'll back up just a minute for the new ones that are here. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis. Now, there's an angel. There's a messenger. God's got him in his hand, he says right here. He says, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, which is what? The seven church age messengers. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. We'll get to that in just a minute. You got a name. You're living by it, but you're dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Now, this is God. This is God telling John, write this down, and we're going to deliver it to this Sardesian church age. Okay? Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. It's getting that hour, folks. Remember, he's going to come as a thief in the night. He's going to come and get his own and get us out of here, and the world is not going to know it, except all hell's going to break loose. All right? Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments. There was always a bride in every church age. And we're going to talk about this a little bit where that you see that this was called an unfulfilled age. Well, now, don't just remember one thing. It wasn't the Holy Ghost was unfulfilled. The people were unfulfilled because you can only work. The Holy Ghost can only work as you let him. Everybody with me? That's where you can't understand. You say God's all powerful. God's all this. God is. But thank God for a prophet that told us one day, he said, the Holy Ghost is very timid. What? It's a spirit. And he's not going to force anything on you to give you your free will. And then he will what? He will work as you work. All right, is everybody with me? Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white. Now look, they shall walk with me in white. That means they got the Holy Ghost. If anything says in the Bible about white robes, pure and white, without spot or wrinkle, you got the Holy Ghost in your soul. Amen. Everybody with me? Amen. All right? Because you're as perfect as God is. As Brother Richard said, you have already, your soul's already crossed over that chasm, and you spiritually are in Eden. Sometimes we need to just let that thing out. What we do is we bind it so much by our own ideas, by our own thoughts. I don't like this one. I don't like that one. This one didn't look at me. This one didn't. Somebody cut me off on the highway. Have I hit anybody yet? I hope nobody's hit you. Thou hast a few names which have not defiled their garment. Thank God, in this evil age, this dark age, he's got the same group of people that is taken on his name. They are worthy. And we're to finish this thing up. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what? What the Spirit said. Not what man said, what the Spirit said to the churches. All right, now the church age we're in now, I tried to make that thing a little smaller, but I didn't. But anyway, we're in that church age where it says Martin Luther. The Sardesian church age lasted from 1520 to 1750. And we're coming into a time to where intelligence of man, I read you Wednesday night, the many things that between Luther and Wesley's age, the pocket watch was invented, the water wheel, the knitting machine, microscope, thermometer, telescope, submarine, steam turbine, adding machine, pressure cooker, piano, steam engines, lightning rods. We know Ben Franklin did that for us. Dictionary, steamships, bifocal glasses. Also, Uncle Ben did the same thing for us. He gave us bifocal lenses, Benjamin Franklin. Parachute, bicycle, gas lights, cotton gin, smallpox vaccine, and even batteries. Number one was the printing press. The printing press is what changed the world because you could put it in print and you could hand it out and then they could make copies and hand it out and you could read what somebody says instead of going, well, I think he really meant this over here, and you made your own interpretation out of it. But you could put it in print. The Bible was put in print. Actually, Martin Luther helped get it from Latin to German and to compile the books together. So everything in this church age is about intelligence. Yes. All right, we'll get to that later on, not this morning, but intelligence of man. There is not a problem with the intelligence. Listen, how'd y'all get here today? Sister Diane, you get your horse good? Okay, your horse is good. Y'all got it out there on the pasture eating. You ready to go back? It'll take you about 2.5 months to get back to Tennessee where you live, but you'll make it. You'll be. No. She got in a car, got down here about 5 or 6 hours. That's how it's advanced, but it started. It had to start somewhere. Well, let me tell you in the spiritual also, God starts you really slow. God starts you as a baby. He gives you milk. You take milk, and then you go on to meat, and then you go on to eat whatever you want to. And maybe sometimes our problem. But that's the fifth church age. And we know that it's the man anointing, according to Ezekiel. So the Thyatira church age, it was an ox age. We've already been now. The first three ages was the lion. The second was the ox, which is what works. Ox, take an ox outside, he'll work himself to death. All right? So that's the same. Now listen, you and I got to have that same. Those spirits don't die. I said the other day that the demon spirits don't die. They just migrate to another place. Guess what? The Holy Ghost don't die either. He takes and he goes from one place to another. And he goes from one church age to the other. And he works upon what God said. Because you're going to look at this. You're going to see Martin Luther in a few minutes. You're going to think, how in the world is this guy a church age messenger? He did a lot of junk. But Brother Branham said God was pleased with Martin Luther. We look at it different. Martin Luther did what God said. Maybe sometimes if we'll just do what God said and not what man said or what you thought you ought to do. Amen? But we know every one of them, every church age, had a dominating female involved. In Ephesus, it was Diana. They worshiped Diana. In Thyatira, they worship a prophetess who sat on a three-legged stool. All right? Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Baptism. In this church age, her name was Sabeel. It was always a woman, but this became a woman with a child. And then as we read the other day, then you see that the child goes away. And now it's only Mary worship, just like the Mariology in the Catholic Church. But in our age, everything comes together. And God calls it the great whore and her daughters. Yes. All right, plain, but that's what God said. I didn't have to interpret it. It's in the Bible. Amen. All right, so Revelation 17:1 says there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials. Now remember, this is the seven vials. So what's happened is we've already left the earth. The vials don't pour out till we're gone. The vials is what? Judgment. All right, so we're gone, and this is what this angel is saying unto me, John. Come hither, I will show thee, unto thee, the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, or many people. We know that half this world is dominated by the Catholic Church, which would be about 4.5 billion people are Catholics. Wow. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. They took her doctrine. So he carried me away in the spirit to the wilderness. I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet, as a woman, the church, sitting on a scarlet-colored beast. What? A power, something to ride on. Yes. Full of names of blasphemy. We know what those are. Yes. Having 7 heads and 10 horns. That's the kingdoms in the ages. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand. What? Full of abominations. This is not the church, the bride. The bride's gone. This is not even the foolish virgin. They're not part of this right here. Now, they may be part of the system, but they're not part of this right here. Because a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. So she was a great whore, and she had harlot children. And abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. We just got through with the Thyatira church age. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. In other words, John admired this thing, this scene. She was so beautiful, John gets caught up in it, and the angel had to say, hey, John, hold on, buddy. I'm going to show you. Why do you marvel? Wherefore dost thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast thou sawest was and is not. What? One pope dies, one pope comes back. One pope dies, one pope comes back. Everybody with me? And shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast that was and is not, and yet is. That's what we're coming to now. The Bible says in Timothy, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead. Amen. Dead while she liveth. Today, if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your soul today, you are dead. You are a walking dead person. Amen. Talk about walking dead on the movies out there. That's what you are. You're walking dead. All right? So let's get some life in us. Get the Holy Ghost. Get the new birth. Have some life, as Brother Ryan was saying. Let's get some passion. Listen. We get some passion about anything. We're passionate people. God made us this way. Amen? Come on. God made us to love. God made us to love Him, though. And be passionate about His Word. And like Brother Ryan said, be passionate about the things that go with it. Like studying, reading, coming to church, being a Christian. Be that straight stick in front of that crooked one. But if you're not born again, you're dead. I don't care if you've had signs, wonders. It doesn't matter to God. Satan can do all that. But Satan can't get born again. Satan cannot have, come on somebody. Satan can't have passion for the Word of God. He has a passion for perverting the Word of God. So anytime you see that perversion, hell, it's the devil. Pretty plain. But let's have a passion for God. And if we keep ourselves in the Word of God, then God will what? Fulfill that passion. Listen, as this age we're fixing to talk about is an unfulfilled age, let's make this age a very fulfilled age. And it's up to me and you to do that. Have a passion of what you're doing. Read your Bible with passion. Come to church with passion. Try smiling sometime. Some of you crack your face and we pray for the sick. So now let's look here real quick. What happened in these church ages is there was a ministry loosed in every church age, because I read you every one, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos. He came to one man, and one man brought a message. All right, everybody with me? One man, Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley, and Brother Branham. Everybody with me here? All right, a specific message for a specific time, to a specific people. Because you're going to sit here today and you're going to look at your church age messenger that we looked at, Brother Branham, but you're going to look at Luther's church age and you're going to say, wow, he was pretty awful sometimes. But God was pleased with that time. Don't you remember when you were a Christian? We come up just like how God develops the church ages. We come up the same way. Don't you remember when you first became a Christian that you made so many mistakes? You stayed on your knees. God, forgive me for this. Forgive me for this. Forgive me. Because those old demons, they don't leave. They're just still trying to pack yourself in. But there's a seal. Praise God. There's a seal that Satan can't get in and God can't get out. But you and I have come to that. But we do stumble. We do make mistakes. We take a baby. We put the baby up against the wall. And the baby starts to walk. Well, when the baby falls, you don't just start beating it, do you? Well, thank God, God doesn't start beating us either. But he does expect when we get about, if we're 16 and 17 and we can't walk, am I getting to somebody? God ought to whip us. So the opening of the first two seals. Now, what is a seal? We're going to try to make this simple as we get into the layout of sin church age. But remember, a seal is seals something in or out. But there's something written on this paper. All right? There's something written, and it's important. If I don't have these notes, I'll stop. But you see that? What's on the outside, Brother Darty? You can't see that, can you? Can you see anything? All you see is lines. But something inside there is sealed up. God sealed it up, and only God can unseal it. All right? So we're going to see it in Revelation 6:1. And I saw when the Lamb, as Brother Richard was talking about, the Lamb opens the seal. Christ is the only one that can open it. All right? Because he is the seal. All right? So when he opens it, guess what? Boom. Now you can read what's on the inside of it. So that's what God did. He sealed it up because of Daniel 12. He said, Daniel, seal up these things until what? The time of the end. So they were sealed up because God said to seal them up. But there would come a prophet in the end time that could stand there and say, here stands a lamb with a book, and there goes a white horse rider. He had come to a place to where God was using him so much. Swallow. Till you couldn't tell the difference. But what did these do? What did it do? It loosed a ministry. It loosed so that something can be said. We've read the Bible for years and years and years and years. And for those of us that were Trinitarians, we read it as a Trinitarian Bible. But the seal wasn't really tore off of it. We were just reading words on a page. But these animals, these four beasts, or the lion at first, reading Ezekiel, you'll see it's a face of a man, face of an ox, face of a lion, face of an eagle. Everybody with me? All right, so we're in the Bible. But it's come to the age where we can understand that. All right? So Revelation 6, verse 1 says, And I saw, now that's John, when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts, the lion, said, come and see. And I behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now we know for a fact that who that was. That was the Antichrist. Yes. Starting in the first church age, under the auspice of a white righteous church. That's right. Yes. Seeming white. There was a white righteous church. Paul, Irenaeus, and Martin, they developed or brought that group together called the bride. But then Satan, he gets on his horse, or what? He gets on his power, and he starts riding. But remember, at the first church age, he doesn't have a lot of power because there's more power in the lion, L-I-O-N, the lion, which is bold. That's Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, the different ones. They didn't have to muddle through denominations. They didn't have a big Catholic church over their head. It was coming. It was coming in very small amounts, but it had not come to his apex or come to his head, all right? And he got on his horse, and he had a bow. Oh, it looked like, see, he's a bluffer. He looked like he was strong, but he had nothing. Right. Same way today. And a crown was given. He didn't even have a crown himself. The crown. Who crowned him? The people. The people crowned him. It's our situation. God's give us, we're going to crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Isn't that what the Bible says? We're going to crown him. Amen. And we're going to get crowns. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. So the first three ages, Satan bluffed his way into the true white righteous church. And God allowed that to happen. Because we're going to read a scripture this afternoon where God promised that the corn of wheat had to go in the ground. All right? If this is not exciting, y'all need to wake up and we'll find something else to do. Okay, this is what we're doing. Revelation 6 now, verse 3. And when he had opened the second seal, now what was the second beast? It was an ox. What we've been talking about in the Thyatiran church age are the work horse or the work ox. This was the ox age. And John saw this beast, and that beast said, hey, come and see what's behind this seal. All right? And then went out another horse. All right, now look. Satan got off of one and got on another one. But that white horse, he said, kept running. Because that power of that white righteous church just kept going. Because remember, it's gonna culminate in the World Council of Churches. Because it looks good. It looks righteous. Looks can be deceiving. Somebody ought to make that a quote. And they went out another horse that was red. Now, he gets on another horse. This horse is a different color. Because this horse has a different, the messenger setting on the horse, which is Satan, he's getting ready to loose another ministry. Or one that's a little bit higher than the one he had, because the one he had didn't have a lot of power. He had a bow and no arrows. But now we come up to this church age. Now, what's happened? Power was given unto him that set thereon to take peace from the earth. And they should kill one another. And there was given to him a sword. He's got a sword or a word that he can cut the people with. I like the one that says sharp two-edged sword that cuts me. But there was one that came in this church age, which is the fourth church age, which is Thyatiran church age. He was given a sword or a word. So then we go to the Nicene Council, and we have all different councils, and they all come together, and they come out with a Trinitarian doctrine. They came out with a name that you're called, but you're dead. They come out with all these different things, all these different denominations are fixing to head up. We'll read about that in a little while, because remember, everything has a beginning. Everything is a seed, all right? That seed has to grow. The denominational seed started growing in the first church age, but it was so small, nobody worried about it at the time. Everybody with me? But now we come up to Columba's age, and we come up to where the Roman Catholic Church is fixing to start dominating. They're fixing to put what? They put church and state. Church was weak. But when Constantine give them an army, you know the Vatican has their own army? And it's huge. People just don't know about it. And they're everywhere. But Vatican has their own army and their own protection of the Vatican, their own self. But let's look here just a second. There was given him a word, a great sword. And that was the red horse rider, or the second horse. And what went out to combat it? An ox, a work, labor. Keep going, God said. Keep going, keep going. Now let's go to the second seal. This is when Brother Brown preached in 1963. When the slain risen lamb opened it, and the second calf-like beast said, come and see what the seal mystery is. Now we get to it. The lamb, you remember, has to open every seal. So if you don't understand anything, understand this. Christ was there that week with Brother Branham opening those seals. All right? He was the one. Brother Brown got out of the way so much. He said, I've never worked in realms like this before. Read the seal book. He was just awed at the things that he didn't see until Christ came on the scene and said, hey, this. And that's the perfection of the Word of God. Only Jesus Christ can keep it together. That's why if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're not going to understand a word we're saying. Oh, yeah, maybe, you know, get saved and baptized and... And the second beast, if you notice in the routine of where we just went through the church ages, the first was a lion, as we said before. The next was a calf or ox or something, you see. And this beast said, come and see. Now, when the lamb opened the seal, and then John went to see. Now, remember, John typed the bride. I'm telling you today, come and see. If you're bride, you will be able to see it. You will hear the call. Yes. Listen, folks, that's the thunder. Yes. The thunder is the voice of God when the seal breaks to you, when you realize who you are, what you're doing here, why you're here, what stage you're at, where you need to be. You're God-led by then. You're not demon-possessed. Look at where we're at, folks. If you'll just listen. Don't worry about seals and thunders. Yeah, you need to worry about it, but just, it's simply, Brother Brown said, it was a life lived is the greatest thunder that the devil can't stand that. So John typing the bride, the ox said, hey, John, come see. I want you to see what's going on. Well, that's God calling us. Hey, I want you to see. I want you to see this deceiver.
Yes.
And what he's doing to the world. And then I'm going to read in just a little while, he turns around and says, come out of that, my people. Have you come out of it? That's my question to all of us. Have we come out of this thing?
Yes, sir.
As Brother Richard said, out of the true church, there'll come a bride.
Yes.
The two seeds in the framework of this church.
Amen.
If that's deceiving you, you're already deceived, and you're done. Because when we get to that third pull, and we talk about it, Brother Brown had the three pulls. We're talking about the second pull now, as Brother Richard said, but the third pull is here, speaking to people that are totally lost. I hate that, but that's what he said. So when he walked in, what happened? Let's see what he found. Come see. There's a mystery sealed up here that's been here now for 2,000 years about. Now we'll see what it is. Now we find here that we saw a red horse go forward. I continue reading. Now they should kill one another. They should kill each other. His bow had no arrows at first. Remember in the first three church ages, his bow had no arrows. He was a bluff. He bluffed his way through the whole thing.
Yes.
But his sword did. He done his killing later and changed from a white horse to a red horse, the same exact devil with his sword. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, they that take the sword will perish by it. He said, don't fight. He's talking about Peter. Jesus that night, when Peter cut that guy's ear off, he said, Peter, put your sword up. We're not fighting with that kind of sword no more. But Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he stood up with the sword of God. He had the Holy Ghost then. He put that sword out and he said, oh my, you've killed Jesus Christ. And they said, men and brethren, what can we do? And he said, repent and be baptized. What? They were pricked. That passion came out in their heart. Now remember, he's got a sword. He's going forth a sword in his hand, riding a red horse, wading through the blood of everybody that disagrees with him. Now, do you understand it? How many understand what that seal is now? What is it? It's that middle church age. It's that Thyatiran church age that, where they killed 68 million Christians, put them in the ground. And as Josh looked up for him one more time, that was the whole state of California and Texas, the two biggest states, one of the two biggest states in the United States, wiped every person out that's in those two states. That's how much the Roman Catholic killed people. 68 million people. That would be all of California, all of Texas, do away with every person in it right now. And that's how many they killed in 900 years. And they were Christians. All right, this writer and all his kingdom subjects that are slain down through the ages that drawed all this blood of the martyrs of the saints will be slain by the sword of Jesus Christ when he comes. That's where the vials are going to be poured out. They took the sword of dogma and Antichrist and cut down the real true worshipers all down through the ages by the millions. And when Christ comes with the sword, which is the word, he will slay every enemy there is before him. But now, who is that and where is he? Christ is here, and this is the sword he's going to use. Why are we looking for something else? You think he's going to stand on the Mount of Olives with this great big sword and just go right on through? No, he's doing it now.
Yes, sir.
He's going to do it through two prophets. He's going to do it through the word of God. That's his sword. He doesn't need a sword like this. His sword is the word of God. You might have killed 68 million of them down through these ages, maybe more, but Jesus said, he that takes the sword will perish by it. Watch. As the imposters against the word of God. And because they didn't agree, and this thing Satan placed united the political power, which is Constantine, political power, which he held, and the spiritual power, which he held, put them both together and made a church that sweeps into every nation. He's put millions times millions. After he jumped off his white horse onto red, he took his sword and went forth. But God said with the same thing that he perverted, the false teaching, that same word will rise in power. I say it's rising now. It's cutting, it's pulling, it's pushing. We're going to get out of here. But we're not going to get out of here with all this dogma. We're not going to get out of here with all this baggage hanging on. Y'all get happy if you want to, but I'll just get happy right here. Because I'm happy to be a part of it. I'm happy to be able to see that Satan's got a sword. That Satan is out there. He's out there. I say he's out there. He's right here. Because look, coming from the lips of Jesus Christ, and it shall slay him and everything before him. Amen. There's your second seal. Now let's go to the third seal. Now what was he given then? First he was given a bow, but he didn't have an arrow. Right. Now he's got a mighty sword in his hand. He can do something now. He jumps off his white horse. White horse rides on. Remember, the white horse keeps going. That power keeps going on. Now he straddles a what? A red horse. Blood. Blood red horse. He really rides that one. Oh, sure. Because remember, that's the longest church age, 900 years. He's given great power and a great sword to kill. Then he rides his blood red horse. Why? Listen, I want to ask you a question. Why did God allow this to happen? You ever ask yourself a question? God, why have you ever asked God why you got to go through what you're going through? Oh, those of you that are all sainted and don't ever question God, we'll have second service for y'all to be in the altar before we take communion because you lied. Well, hello, somebody. Listen, we all question. We question things. But once we get to the part where we say, but Lord, as Brother Luis was preaching, but God steps on the scene, I promise you, if you're his child, he'll tell you why you're going through that. He'll tell you why, and he'll show you why. It will define you. It will not destroy you if you're a real, true Christian. He takes peace from the earth and killed one another. In his own martyrology of Roman Catholics, said they put 68 million Protestants to death from the time of St. Augustine of Hippo until 1580. 68 million. And it's recorded. So, I mean, it's not hearsay. Now, remember, he gets his power because he becomes a vicar of heaven and worshiped as God, ruler of the earth, by uniting the church and state together. Made him ruler on earth. Give him a crown over that. He could pray the souls out of purgatory. He could also, in other words, intercede. He was just like God on earth instead of God. You see how perverted that is? Because you know what? You and I are the same thing. But we are God. We are representatives of God if you have the new birth. Listen, the Pope didn't have the new birth. All right? You've got the new birth. Listen, you and I today, we have the power that Satan's looking for. Come on, somebody. We have the power that Satan's looking for. He's wanting to do it with this, do it with political. He's trying to get so big till he can whip God. Hello? He's trying to get so big. He's got the world. He's got 99% of the people in the world, but he's after us. Why? Because we won't take his garbage. I hope you don't take his garbage. The church can't say nothing. He's head of it. State can't say nothing. He's head of that. So they died by the millions. All the little churches, brother, was busted up, killed, murdered, fed to lions and everything else. The dragon Rome gave him his seat and authority. The Bible said so. So he rode his typed red horse through human blood till it became a red horse with blood. Matthew 6, verse 23. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Listen, the Roman Catholic Church, they thought they were it. Satan's got them so confused. Remember what God told us in Timothy or somewhere. He says, I'm going to let them believe this lie. I'm going to let them believe it and be damned by it. But they're going to think it's, you don't think the Catholic Church is going to try to take over the world just so that it can all fall apart? No, they want all the gold. They want your mind. They want your kids. They want your... They want all that because they think what they have is light. But Satan's got them so deceived. I want to ask you a question. Are we so deceived that the thing we think is light is actually killing us? If you don't get a true revelation of this message, not this church, not spoken word church, this church, the message church, the believers, the bride,
amen.
If you don't get a true revelation that you are in darkness. So what do you think about those people like Tim Humes? I'll call his name because you see how much damage he's done. He thought he had light. Now he says that wasn't light, that light is over here. We should get away from the prophet. Light's over here. Denounced everything of the message. Well, that light that he thinks he has is darkness. It's going to kill him. Physically and spiritually, maybe, but definitely spiritually. So now let's get in the Sardinian church age just for a few minutes. Now look what God said. He said, I know thy works, thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Remember, the first three church ages, the baptism was named in the Lord Jesus Christ, the correct name. We were bride. We knew who the Lord Jesus was. He was one God. He wasn't three. He didn't have three personalities. He didn't come different from God. He was God. All right? But this group of people had a different idea. They took the name out and put Father, Son, Holy Ghost. They took the name out and put Pope in. They took the name out and put cardinals and bishops and all that. I know thy works, thou hast a name, thou livest, and you're dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works. See, he's fixing to rebuke the ones even that have light. He said, I have not found thy works perfect before God. You have a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they're worthy. So the combat beast, as we were seeing before, Brother Brown told us, now that there was a lion in the first three ages. There was an ox in that middle age where it says Columba right there. Get it up here a little bit higher. We can see it. All right. And then now we're into the third creature, which is the man, which is intelligence. All right. We'll read what Brother Brown said about that maybe this afternoon. The intelligence of man is always contrary to the intelligence of God. Okay, you see that word knowledge right there? That word knowledge is God knowledge. That's not knowledge that you can add and subtract and tell who so-and-so is. No, that's Holy Ghost knowledge. Brother Ram said to know what's right and wrong, to know what to believe and not to believe. All right? Because remember, if you're not sealed, you're going to be deceived. You're going to be deceived if you're not sealed. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're already deceived. But come out of her, my people. Come out of that deception. Yes. Amen? That's why Brother Ram said the most important thing for us to do is get the new birth. Know we got the new birth. Yes. Not just a feeling, not just an emotion. That's Satan. Satan can pass out, oh, I spoke in tongues. Well, so did Satan. You remember the people said, have I not healed the sick? Have I not raised the dead? Have I not preached in your name? And Jesus said, what? Depart from me. You never had a birth. You never were part of my family. You were part of a family, but you were so deceived. That light inside of you is darkness if you don't see the true light. That's why it's important to see truth. It's important to see truth and know that why are we bound? Why are we bound? Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Let's go back to the truth part. What's your passion? Like Brother Ryan said, what you passionate about? What does your conscience feed on? What are you feeding on? Come on, somebody. Get quiet now. That's okay. But this church age lasted from 1520 to 1750. And like I said before, I read to you all the things that came. The nation of America was getting ready to be formed. It had already been established. So America, 1776 is when we got our independence. So it's coming into the age of Wesley. But that all, Luther and Wesley, Luther was a German, so it was over there. Remember Brother Bram said it was there. Went across over the canal to Wesley, which was Englishman, and then it comes over here. Remember Wesley actually came over here to Georgia, actually. So let's look at it real quick, what we were talking about the other day, about 6 weeks or so ago. What does a messenger do? When that messenger comes on the scene, Luther come on the scene, he condemned all that was back this way, that had turned away from God, all right? Then what did he do? He rebukes the previous age, like I said, and then he brings a message. Like I said, there's something loosed. In Luther's message, there was a message that was loosed that had never been seen before. Now, it had been seen back here. But it had been so eroded. It had been so much believe the Catholic Church, believe in works, believe in penance. Yes. But when he come out and he looked at the Bible and the Bible wasn't written. He just brought the manuscripts together and he looked. He said, "The just shall live by faith." What a message! Now remember that word Sardis means escape ones. The religion was the mother and son worship, which is Sabeel and Dios, at first. But remember, Brother Brown said, look, all these characteristics. He was up here and she was like right here. But when we come to the end of the age, it shifts. Like I said about that book I was telling you to read about the 50 years in the Catholic Church. They start out, they put a kid, that's why they bring kids into monasteries. Of course, they do some awful things to them. You know that. But they bring the kids in to teach them the Catholic way. And then he said they sat down with me. I was 7 years old, the guy that wrote this book. He said the priest sat down with me and said, who'd you rather talk to, your mama or your daddy? I said, oh, my mama, because my daddy's mean. Oh, well, when you need something, who do you go to? Oh, I go to mama. Daddy's mean. Who you need to talk about this now? I go to mama. I go to mama. I go to mama. So then he starts saying, well, Mary. Mary's the one you need to pray to because Jesus is mean. You see how that just develops so much, just like us? Well, who are you more comfortable? That's what. Who are you more comfortable with, your mother or your father? Well, I'm more comfortable with my mother. Because my dad, he's mean sometimes, you know, or he whips me a little bit harder than mama does. And mama, when you get sick, who do you go to? You see how that is? Now, listen, that sounds pretty good. But if you're sick, who do you? Oh, mama just rocks me and cradles me, you know. Kid's 7 years old. But he's writing it now at 60 years old. It's how they did that in the Catholic Church to get him to worship Mary and not Jesus. Because Jesus is mean, Mary's sweet. So we're going to, the mother of God, we're going to worship her first. Because Jesus is mean. Sounds good, but it's the devil. The mother has literally taken the place of the son, endowed with the merits of God. Do you know around about this time that a pope gets up and he says, I believe Mary was resurrected. Because we can't find her body. And she ascended to heaven, and she's up there now, and that's who you pray to. Mary. No, Mary had to go to Pentecost.
Absolutely.
Mary had to get the new birth.
Yes, sir.
She birthed the word, but she had to birth the word inside of her soul.
Yes, sir.
The mother has literally taken place of the son, endowed with the merits of Godhead. All one needs to do is go over her various titles and recall the lovely attributes, according to Mary, by the Roman Church, to understand where the religion of this age came from. Wow. Let's go through. Now watch. But what did Luther do? Luther, during that time, he crystallized the doctrine of justification by faith that they held to works, penances, prayers, and other unscriptural means. And as the freed Christians glorified the Son, the Roman Catholics increased their deification of Mary, like I said before, until the 20th century saw, in opposition to most, even high-ranking Roman theologists, that Pope Pius literally exalted Mary to glorification in a resurrected body. Now, they believe that. That's why you see the Blessed Virgin Mary, you know, and got this big heart, you know, and if she is holding the baby, she's got a halo just like he's got. That doctrine is absolutely the Babylonian doctrine of the son carrying the mother bodily into heaven. Wow. Martin Luther. Let's talk about him just for a second. Then we'll recap this afternoon. Martin Luther was born in 1483, died in 1546. He was 62 years old when he passed. But he was a German. All right, he was a priest, theologian, author. He wrote hymns. He was a professor and an Augustinian friar. Because remember, Luther was in that system. Amen. Everybody with me? Luther came in under the Catholic system.
Yes.
He was actually like he was a friar, but he couldn't marry. Because now at this time they said, well, no, priests can't marry. He broke that up. But he was a seminal figure of the Protestant Reformation. You know why that's called Protestant, right? Because they protested the Catholic Church. All right? Luther was the seminal figure of the Protestant Reformation, and his theological beliefs formed the basis of Lutheranism. He is widely regarded as one of the most influential figures in Western and Christian history. Brother Brandon will agree with that. He's one of the most important one because it was so marred. It's just like you put something in a pit of tar, and there's one finger sticking out. And Luther reaches and gets that one finger, and he pulls the church out of that. Just by one finger. Now listen, they still tar on it. But at least he pulled them out. All right. Luther was ordained in the priesthood in 1507. He came to reject several teachings and practices of the Roman Catholic Church. In particular, he disputed the view of indulgences. Luther attempted to resolve these differences amicably, but first proposing an academic discussion. Well, that got him in trouble. He put those 95 theses up, and they ever won was against the Catholic Church. Pope Leo demanded that Luther renounce all of his writings, and when Luther refused, he excommunicated him in January 1521. Then they sent people to kill him. They sent people to kill Martin Luther, and they couldn't get to him. Listen, God's not going to, if he's not finished with you, you're not going to die. All right? Luther taught that salvation and consequently eternal life are not earned by good deeds. Rather, they are received only as the free gift of God's grace through the believer's faith in Jesus Christ, who is the sole redeemer from sin. See, that put him in trouble right there because they're saying the Pope is.
Yeah.
All right? But he had enough power about him. But listen, he had enough intelligence, too, to do it the right way. Luther's theology challenged the authority and office of the Pope by teaching that the Bible is the only source of divinely revealed knowledge. Luther's translation of the Bible into German from Latin made the Bible vastly more accessible to the laity. Remember, Catholic Church said even today they do everything in Latin. You don't read the Bible, you just depend on the Pope. Which had tremendous impact on both the church and German culture. It fostered the development of a standard version of the German language, added several principles to the art of translation, and influenced the writing of an English translation, or the Tyndale Bible. And you know what happened to Tyndale, right? They hooked him behind a horse and they drug him till they killed him. Just because he put a Bible together. His hymns influenced the development of singing in the Protestant churches. Because remember, that wasn't in the Catholic Church. You see how much he's reformed or pulling the people out and getting them to where even our worship now. Because what happened to Wesley had a method of worship. Right? That's why it's called Methodist. There was a method. But it started with Martin Luther singing songs. And remember, he gets married to this Katharina von Bora. She was a nun. Well, that just tore the Catholic Church up. A priest married a nun. Set a model for the practice of clerical marriage, allowing Protestant clergy to marry. So you see how he's pulled that out. But remember, he's not going to pull it all the way out. He's not going to pull it all the way out. Everybody with me? Some of you are, some of you not. In two later works, Luther expressed anti-Jewish diffusion. Now see, he called for the Jews to be expelled, or expurged, or done away. Burning of synagogues. These works also targeted Roman Catholics, Anabaptists, and non-Trinitarian Christians. Based upon his teachings, despite the fact that Luther did not advocate the murdering of Jews, some historians contend that his rhetoric contributed to the development. See how Satan gets in?
Yes.
Satan just dived right in. He said, "Oh, Luther, I see a crack." And he inserted himself right in there and started. What happened was the Nazi party came from because he was a German. Germans hated the Jews. Well, that continued from Luther all the way to, what did that demon do? That demon went right into Adolf Hitler. Luther dedicated himself to the Augustinian order, devoting himself to fasting, long hours in prayer. Listen, he wasn't a scoundrel. He was a godly man. Pilgrimage and frequent confessions. Luther described this period of his life as one of deep spiritual despair. Watch what he said. I lost touch with Christ the Savior and Comforter and made of him the jailer and hangman of my poor soul. This is his letter to the Pope. I like this. I want to read it again. This is a direct letter. He wrote this and sent it to Pope whatever, Leo the 10th, I believe it was. The first and chief article is this: Jesus Christ, our God and Lord, died for our sins and was raised again for our justification. Romans 3. He alone is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Well, that got him in trouble right there. And God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. All have sinned and are justified freely without their own works and merits. Well, that got away from the Catholic Church. By his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus in his blood, Romans 3. This is necessary to believe. This cannot be otherwise acquired or grasped by any work, law, or merit. Therefore, it is clear and certain that this faith alone justifies us. Nothing of this article can be yielded or surrendered. In other words, I'm not changing it. I'm writing it to the Pope. And if he kills me, he just kills me. Even though heaven and earth and everything else falls. Now, this is the letter he wrote to his followers. In these sermons, he hammered home the primacy of core Christian values such as love, patience, charity, freedom, and reminded the citizens to trust God's word rather than violence to bring about necessary change. Do you know what the devil thinks when he sees men use violence to propagate the gospel? He sits with folded arms behind the fire of hell and says with malignant look and frightful grin, "Oh, how wise these madmen are to play my game." Isn't that what we do? Oh, how wise these madmen are to play my game. Let them go on. I shall reap the benefits. I delight in it. But when he sees the word running and contending alone on the battlefield, then he shudders and shakes for fear. Real quick right here. We got to look at this as the Reformation or the age of reforming. Now, this was not, listen, just for a minute. This began the age of restoration. Do you understand me now? But it wasn't yet restored. We'll talk about that this afternoon. Because Joel says, I will restore. Yes. This is not a restoring. This is a reformation. He's restoring now. Luther was a mighty preacher and teacher of the word and insisted, especially in his first years of public eminence, that the word was the sole criterion. Thus, he was against works as a means of salvation and baptism as a means of regeneration. He taught the mediation of Christ apart from man, as was the original and Pentecostal concept. He was a man given to much prayer and had learned that more of the work he did, the more sorely he was impressed for time. The more of his time he gave to God in prayer in order to ensure satisfactory results. He was passionate about what he was doing. He knew what it was to battle with the devil and said that Satan one day visibly appeared to him and he flung an eatwell at him, bidding him to go. Another time, two fanatics came to him to induce him to join with them in banishing all priests and Bibles. He discerned the spirit and sent them off. He was a prophet, evangelist, speaker in tongues, interpreter, and one person endowed with all nine gifts of the Spirit. What stirred his heart by the Holy Ghost, and which was the little green shoot, and that's what we're going to talk about this afternoon. He was the little green shoot that signified that truth was coming back. It wasn't there. You got a name that you're living, that you're dead. I'm not really happy with everything you're doing. That's what he said. Your works are not perfect. Back to the church as it was known at Pentecost was the doctrine of justification, salvation by grace. Do you know that you have based your new birth on that man's teaching? Come on. You have based your new birth on being justified by faith and that God was just to forgive you. But you can't stay there. He stayed there because he had no more word. That was his part. That was what God expected him to do. But you and I, that's our first work. Everybody with me? I recognize Dr. Luther did not believe only and preach only justification, but that was his major theme. As indeed it had to be, for it was the basic doctrine of the truth of the word. He will be forever known as the instrument in the hand of God who revived this truth. He was the fifth messenger, and his message was, the just shall live by faith. Surely we admit he knew and did teach that we are to go from faith to faith. His marvelous understanding of sovereignty, election, predestination, and other truths show him to be a great man in the word. Yet I say again, as do historians, God used him to bring to the people God's standard against works, which is what? You can't be saved by your works. And that's what you and I base our salvation on today, that it's not works. Listen, we do works after we get born again. Now, as I mentioned already, this age has been called by the historians the period of Reformation. That is exactly right. That is what it is. It had to be that, for Martin Luther was a reformer, not a prophet. That's why, folks, we needed a prophet in the end time to bring the word of God straight from the mind of God, straight through his mouth, straight to me and you. Now, listen, Luther did get a piece of that. The just shall live by faith that was in the mind of God. He was pleased when Martin Luther said the just shall live by faith. But there's more.
Yes.
That is what it was. It had to be that, for Martin Luther was a reformer, not a prophet. So he was not able to lead the church back to the whole truth, as would a man like the Apostle Paul, who was both apostle and prophet. The word does not call it a restoration. Musicians, come on. The word does not call it a restoration, but certainly calls it a reformation. Had it been a restoration, that age would have been another Pentecostal age. That's why we got to have over here, praise God, a Pentecostal age that we just came through. And listen, I'm talking about Pentecost by birth. I ain't talking about Pentecost by what they had in 1906. Pentecost by birth. But it was not. The best that could be said of it strengthened that which remains that is ready to die. There was something missing. Yes, sir, there certainly was. This age had justification, but it had missed sanctification and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is what God's original plan was. That is what they had at Pentecost. They were justified, they were sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, and that's Pentecostal age. Listen to me. The reason for being justified and sanctified is to the end that you might be baptized with the Holy Ghost. That is the reason that there is a church. It's the temple of God filled with God, even the Holy Ghost. That same Spirit that was in Jesus while he was here on earth, causing him to do the mighty works, which he did, came back on that church at Pentecost. Now, it didn't come back on Luther. It did in part. We know in part. We prophesy in part. But that which is perfect is come. That which is in part. We don't do away with justification. We move through it. This age did not have those words. Oh, they had the written word, but not the revealed word. That was the Reformation period. But fear not, little flock. God said, I will restore. We'll talk about that this afternoon. Let's stand to our feet. And this reform was going to be the start of it. God, listen, God don't have to start anywhere, but he has to start something in you somewhere.
Yes, sir.
We didn't come here full grown. We came here as babies. He was going to, according to his promise, take the church back from the depth of Satan in the dark ages to the depths of God. Today, we stand in the depths of God. If you believe it. If you don't think this is just a church to come to. We're in the depths of God that they had at Pentecost in the first few years of the existence of the church. Now be careful and get this. It says in this second verse, it reads, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Do you know that the meaning of not perfect really is? It is unfulfilled. This age was an unfulfilled age. It was just the start of getting back. Do you remember your start? If you don't remember your start, you don't have an ending. You got a beginning. You got to know where you came from. That is why I said the Bible called it reformation, not restoration. It had started out the doctrine of justification, which meant salvation was all of God. And how Luther preached the sovereignty of God in election. He knew it was all of grace. He separated the church from rule by ecclesiastical hierarchy. He tore down the idols, cast out the confession booths. He denounced the Pope. It was wonderfully good as he started, but God said 1,500 years before, Luther, you are going to start something, but your age will see it unfulfilled. I am leaving that to the later. Hallelujah. Our God reigneth. He knows the end from the beginning. Yes, Luther was his messenger. It didn't look like it as we examined the flaws, but there was a man called Jonah. I say there was a man called Moses. They had flaws. He had flaws in his life too. He was a prophet, though you and I might not want to say it on the basis of how he acted. Now, this was an unfulfilled age. It was an age of reformation, but that is how God wanted it. Listen, if God's satisfied with that, you better be satisfied with it because it's perfect. If God's satisfied, then I'm satisfied that Luther had to come and give us a message of justification. And we stand, like I said before, we stand on that. If you don't believe that God justified you, your sins are still hanging on you. Hello? But then we got to believe and know that Brother Branham comes and he tells us from the mind of God. He said, that person inside of you never did it to begin with. Now, that wasn't the revelation of Martin Luther. Martin Luther said, we're saved by, right here, grace through faith, justification. We can't do anything. We know that. But we know that we've come to that justification in the headstone where you realize you didn't do it to begin with. That real you inside of you that came to you at your new birth, it's developing enough to tell you, I'm perfect. I'm sinless. I'm just telling you what God said. Well, I've got problems. Work on them. Amen. You love the Lord? Let's sing a song.
He paid a debt he did not owe.
I owed a debt I could not pay. Shame away. And Brother Richard said, take you back across to the chasm. cross of Calvary where there's no sin over there in the garden.
Set me free.
Oh, what a wonderful message we have.
Jesus, I did all my sins away.
Everything's been opened. The book's been opened. The Martin Luther didn't have an open book. You and I have an open book. We have open access to God.
Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. One day he's
you believe that?
Coming,
he coming back,
back
for me. For me. He's coming back for you. He's coming back for himself. Here, we saw Sister Anna come up here. They're expecting baby number three, so they're gonna have another one, and we're praying that everything's gonna be okay, and that that the Lord will have His way in keeping the child healthy through the pregnancy. She's due sometime in January, so that's a wonderful month. A lot of wonderful people were born in that month. So, and all of us January babies said, "Amen." Okay, but just pray for that. pray for that situation. Pray for all these situations. As somebody said the other day, let's just don't throw praying hands up. And when they go through WhatsApp, everybody goes, say a prayer. Prayer changes things. I believe that prayer, well, absolutely, it works if you pray with a sincere heart. God bless you. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for the word, Lord. Thank you for the brothers and sisters that you put in front of us to hear it, Lord. And I pray that you'd help them, Lord. And as we were speaking, Lord, we could tell that maybe there was some in here that's not been justified, Lord. That's not really had their sins forgiven and washed, Lord, white and have moved on into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I pray that this year, right now, this month even, will be the time that lives will be changed. Lord, we've took many to the baptismal pool, but Lord, that just is regular water, but Father, I pray that you wash them with the water of the Word, that they'll, as Brother Ryan says, they'll be passionate about something, and it will be you, Lord, that their passion will show in the lives that they live and the character that they represent, Lord, even at work and at home and different places, Lord. I pray that you'd bless us and sanctify us, Lord. Be with us till we come back at service this afternoon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Lord.